happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And this Friday, March 31st, is the Transgender Day of Visibility, while right-wing media is blaming the Tennessee shooting on transgenderism. But we're honored to have as our guest Tennessee transgender leader Dr. Marissa Richmond, a distinguished professor of history at Middle Tennessee State University and a great activist.
Yes, in many places in the state and the country. Meanwhile, in Florida, Ron DeSantis has expanded the Don't Say Gay law to all grades in school and has hired a white supremacist, anti-LGBTQ speechwriter.
A Chicago bakery had to close after harassment after hosting a drag event.
And right-wing censors are banning kids from singing a rainbow song in Wisconsin and in Florida from seeing a film about a six-year-old civil rights pioneer.
Neo-Nazi leader says that protesting drag has been a boon to recruitment for new members.
Of course. The oldest working drag queen in America has died at age 92 in Portland, Oregon.
World leaders are trying to stop Uganda's extremist anti-homosexuality bill, passed with almost no dissent there, from being signed into law.
And a play based on the short story original, Brokeback Mountain, is opening in London with two American stars.
But we welcome our guest now, Dr. Marissa Richmond. Welcome, professor of history at Middle Tennessee State University, one of two transgender political appointees in Nashville. You're a current member of the Metro Historical Commission and a former chair of the Metro Human Relations Committee. I should say that, you know, I looked at your resume. You only graduated from Harvard, Berkeley, and George Washington University with your PhD. You were the first president of the Tennessee Transgender Political Action Coalition and a number of other groups. You've served there for so long. You're also a Democratic Party activist. You were the first trans woman to be elected to public office and the first Black trans woman to be elected a delegate to a major party convention from any state in the union. So welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate being here. Although we're under unique circumstances, obviously.
Oh, yes. And we originally wanted to have you because it is the trans week of visibility, remembrance, and the trans day of visibility this Friday. But now this has exploded with the murders of these school children and school workers. And things must just feel crazy around you this week.
Yeah, we've been reeling. I'm literally only about 5 miles from Covenant School. I know the area. I've never been in the building, but I know the area quite well. I have friends who live there. I've socialized around that area. And so hard. A lot of people I know on social media are sharing stories about the families who are the six families. People have relationships because they're part of our community. Our mayor has noted in interviews that Nashville's been through some tragedies, but this one takes out children. And as a teacher, even though I'm at higher ed, you know, anytime there's a school shooting, it hurts we want people to achieve their goals, and those 3 9-year-olds have now had their futures taken from them.
Well, I mean, the shooter is being identified by the mainstream media as someone named Audrey Hale, but who has actually taken the name Aiden Hale and uses he, him pronouns. Now, whenever these killings occur, that's a picture of Aiden. whenever these killings occur, and elsewhere, we never hear whether they're heterosexual or cisgender or any of that stuff. But the right-wing media has seized on, oh, this is transgender. And of course, people like Tucker Carlson devoted their whole thing, the Post and the horrible New York Post headline, transgender killer targets Christian school. I mean, this reminds me of the days when, you know, then even the New York Times used to say homosexual robs bank, which they never had a heterosexual robs bank. But how is it surviving in this atmosphere?
Well, with the trans people, with numerous laws, the New York Times noted Tennessee has more anti-LGBTQ laws in any state, and Tennessee in particular has more anti-trans laws. And with that assault continuing this year, and then with the revelation on Monday that the shooter was or is or was, I guess, past tense, trans, that has a lot of people in fear.
Well,
we're talking about leaving, and this has made things worse because of the sort of hate that's being targeted towards us because of this.
And it's very confusing. We have talked for years about the media misgendering trans people who are murdered. By the way, we're not hearing anything about that this week, only about the one person who has committed this murder. But it's so weird because they are overtly identifying him as trans and yet insisting on calling him female, as if that weren't, you know, messed up. And it's hard to people don't understand actually whether it is a trans man or is it a trans woman who they're identifying as trans and as a woman. But in fact, there is conflict because this is a trans man, not a woman and not a trans woman. Marissa is coming in and out, or sorry, there's these connections are sometimes difficult, but there you are.
There we go. Sorry about that.
So what about this misgendering?
Well, you know, it starts with the police department. Now, we've worked with the police for many years, and every time there's been a victim, and there have been numerous ones, even right here in Nashville, they keep telling them, please don't do that. And so they did it again, and the media has been taking their lead from the police department. But, while there's some frustration in the trans community about the misgendering, you know, we feel that we need to keep the focus on guns. We have some of the most lax or in some cases non-existent gun laws in the country. We have permitless carry. There's bills in our legislature. Policemen to continue carrying their firearms. There's one that would college professors were allowed to carry guns, and now they want to allow students to bring guns into schools. And so, these gun laws are the problem, not trans people. And again, one trans person commits a violent act, while, you know, so many trans people are victims of violence, and they focus on the one and not on the many.
And we should say that, you know, what the thing that maybe you could clarify it, the thing that got you into trans activism was the vicious murder of a trans woman in 1996.
Correct.
Someone named Christian Page, which was a really horrendous overkilling that sparked it. Talk about that.
Yeah, Christian was a native of Nashville. I got to meet her. We were friends. There was a press report that we were best friends. That was exaggerated, but we were friends. I had actually gone up there for a history conference and went looking for her and found out she had been murdered one day earlier. She had been strangled to death, stabbed 35 times, and then set on fire. And to this day, there's still no resolution in that case. Although we learned last year, the Chicago Police Department now has transgender officers, and they've insisted on I don't know if they have enough evidence to find somebody, any sort of latent fingerprints or DNA evidence. But, Christian was brought back to Nashville. One of the local drag queens who never met Christian organized fundraisers to make sure she had a proper headstone. So she is properly marked today. but there's still no resolution on her murder. And she was homeless. And again, she was a friend of mine, and I broke down crying. We all did who knew her. And I think that was the moment when I committed myself to doing something. I said, I don't want this to happen ever again to another person. And at that point in 96, I didn't know what the hell I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted the violence to stop.
If only it had. As you said, the New York Times and all of us understand what's going on in Tennessee with all the horrible laws that have passed this year or last year. How will this case of Aidan Hale affect your attempts to change that? And do you see any hope of changing those laws? Do you see this as just, a point in the road and we'll get to a better place? Or are we lost for the foreseeable future in Tennessee? What do you see here?
Lawsuits. The ACLU is very active in Tennessee, and they're pledging lawsuits, and we're lining up plaintiffs, trying to get plaintiffs to file through ACLU. And we hope that the courts will stand against these bills, declare them unconstitutional. We're encouraging the Department of Justice to look at these Tennessee laws and look to either file amicus briefs in Tennessee or these cases. As far as, the future of legislation, I don't know how this is going to affect future bills. Ironically, it was the Saturday Night Live skits ridiculing Bill Lee and Randy McNally that kind of put the right wing on the defensive. But now they've sort of regained their footings in the last 2 days. And so they're going to continue pushing this hateful legislation.
Because Governor Bill Lee was did some drag himself back in school. You were born and raised in Nashville, which I think you say is fairly progressive in Tennessee.
Right. Yes, we actually, we passed at the local level the first non-discrimination ordinance. We did one for local government employees, and then 2 years later added for contractors. And then there are two of us who are appointed to local office. And as noted, I'm on the current historical commission, and we're even doing a driving tour of LGBT history. And I did the narration, and we're launching it in 2 days on Thursday. No, actually, that's tomorrow. Today's Wednesday, isn't it? So we're doing the official launch tomorrow. And then there's another trans person on the Metro Arts Commission. And we have an out trans woman running for council, although Metro Nashville and the state of Tennessee are battling over our council. They promised retribution when we said we didn't want to host the Republican National Convention. So they've been targeting Metro Nashville for retribution, not specifically because of LGBT issues, but it's been overshadowing some of the relationship between the city and the state. Woman running, but we don't know what the council is going to look like because of what the state is trying to do to us. So we want those voices. We currently have 5 LGBTQ people, but they're all white cisgender, and we're trying to get more people of color and trans people on the council. And the state obviously doesn't like diversity, so we're battling on that level as well.
But other than going to college, Harvard and Berkeley and George Washington University, you have hung in there in Tennessee, and you seem completely committed to it, and you're not going to leave. So what keeps you going?
This is home. As noted, I was born and raised here. I've been here for many years. I talk to families all the time, and they say, thank you for being here and advocating for us. Thank you for being a role model. Retiring in a little over a month, and I guess in theory I could pick up and move anywhere, but I bought a house. I'm settled here. I'm comfortable here. This is my home, and I'm going to continue fighting in some capacity for as long as I physically can, because we should be able to live and contribute everywhere. And I have an ability.
And do your students give you hope?
Yes, yes. The younger generation, if they vote, is much more open and accepting of diversity. They're appalled by what the older generation is doing. The key is getting them to vote. And Tennessee in 2022, we were dead last in voter participation. And that's the second time in a decade we were also dead last. So we've got to figure out, and we've been talking more and more about this for those of us who are Democrats, about how to engage younger people to get them out, to get them beyond their apathy, and to make them understand that voting is critical. The Declaration of Independence says power comes from the consent of the governed, and it is the right of the people to alter or abolish a government and institute a new one. And people have that right, but they have to exercise that right.
Yeah, and it's discouraging that they, you know, they keep polling, for instance, that they want more restrictions on guns, and yet they vote the same people into office who are never going to vote for that.
Well, based right. on also all the gerrymandering that's going on in these districts. Sure. I mean, that's how we look. I mean, you know, Andy Ogles got into Congress, this horrible guy who put the Christmas card out with his family with the guns. And that's who represents the area, because they carved up the district. They gave him a bunch of suburban areas, and they got rid of a wonderful Democrat who retired rather than face that district.
Yeah, we're just so distraught with Ogles. He's only been in office, 3 months now, and just one story after another. Some of the stuff we knew about before the election, we tried to highlight it, especially that photo with the guns for a Christmas card of all things. But we're so bad, which is overwhelmingly progressive Democrat, has been split into three separate districts, and all three congressmen are conservative Republicans. None of them even has an office in Nashville. We're the biggest city in the state. And we don't even have a congressional office anywhere in the city any longer. Yeah. And so, we're just so frustrated and angry as a result of this gerrymandering. And I'm specifically in Andy Ogles' district, as is Covenant.
Right. Well.
Well, we really appreciate your being there and doing this work and being relentless about it, because it's very tough territory. And
keep us posted on how we can help, and we can continue to tell our viewers about things you're doing and things your groups are doing down there. We'll put them in our newsletter. We definitely want to help.
Thank you very much. People, so many wonderful comments the last couple of days. And believe me, it really is helping sort of boost spirits in a community that is really reeling and really down right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marissa.
Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again.
Wow. What a hero.
Absolutely. And it really behooves us to remember that we are everywhere, and some places are a lot tougher than others. And we appreciate the people who are fighting there. ironically, the one person who didn't misgender the shooter was Marjorie Taylor Greene, who complained that, he was taking too much testosterone and thus the violence. It's really, it's very discouraging. I've seen LGBTQ media refer to the shooter as a woman.
Yep.
And this is a trans man who fought with his family about it, but was very much he, him, and a trans man in public.
And, they're certainly going into the mental health issues that this person had, and which seem to have exacerbated this whole crazy thing.
Which is true of virtually every one of these mass shooters.
Absolutely.
Every one. I mean, it's not a terribly rational act to pick up these guns and go out and just start killing people.
Well, speaking of crazy people, let's go to Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis is having his ed department extend Don't Say Gay. You know, he originally just did K through three. Oh, we shouldn't talk about it with these little kids. And how can you be against that? Then, of course, Nikki Haley comes out and says, well, I think it should be through the eighth grade. So now he's saying, let's put it all the way through high school. Let's ban this entirely. And this is his handbook board, and they're going to do this on April 19th. So, you know, he just doesn't want to get he's a bully. He's the bully in chief there in Florida.
And the Board of Ed has to vote in April on restricting sex ed. That's another point that they're pushing here, but it will require a vote.
And he also wants to shield his travel records from the public. He's trying to pass a law with his legislature there. Disney is undeterred by DeSantis's bullying. They're set to host the group Out and Equals Workplace Summit with 5,000 attendees there in Florida, the largest LGBTQ conference in the world, September 11th to 14th. We could argue about whether our side should be having conferences in Florida, but it's sponsored by companies like Amazon, Apple, McDonald's. We can, you know, that. It's certainly a rebuke to DeSantis.
Well, that is a constant question about, do you boycott states that are doing bad things, or do you hang in there and fight? And I had a moment of wondering which was best, a little shocked that Disney was going ahead with this. But I think it's brilliant in the end to bring 5,000 people to Florida for an LGBT conference.
Okay. In Kentucky, the Democratic governor, Andy Beshear, vetoed the sweeping anti-trans bill passed by the Republican legislature there, and he's up for re-election this year. The legislature is likely to override him. The bill bans gender-affirming care for minors, bans discrimination of sexual orientation and gender identity in schools, and allows teachers to misuse pronouns. The ACLU is going to challenge it if it's enacted.
Yeah, it's weird that Beshear does keep getting elected in Kentucky while they elect a right-wing legislature, but he seems...
Well, he ran against a really horrendous, unpopular Republican opponent last time, and he's the son of a former governor, I believe.
That hasn't elected a lot of Democrats around the country, and he's doing okay. But, the legislature is going to override him. All right. Another piece of good news or semi-good news. In Nebraska, we've been telling you about the state senator, Michaela Kavanaugh, who is filibustering the entire legislative session to stop anti-LGBTQ bills.
She's stopping every single bill.
Everything. And she said, I will burn this session down. I am not going to stand still for this. Well, she has now been joined by a fellow Democrat, State Senator Megan Hunt, who is joining the filibuster. She has a trans son, and we'll show you part of her speech on the floor of the state Senate, which is terrific.
Throughout the entire course of this negotiation, let's see, today's day 49. So, you know, for the last 49 days of conversation, which with the speaker, with other legislative leaders in this body, has kind of revolved around this bill, frankly. We've made it clear that this is a line in the sand. And people have said, well, what if we go after your bills? What if we put a bunch of bills introduced by progressives up on the agenda? Are you going to filibuster those too? Yeah. Yes, because we're not like you. We have a principle and a value that actually matters that much to us that we're willing to stand up for. This is how much this matters to us. You guys really don't get it. You really don't get that the session is over. And you're asking what precedent this sets. Is everything going to be like this now? Anytime anybody doesn't like a bill, is it going to be like this now? Subsequent motions, taking time, filibustering every bill? No. The fact that you're asking that shows me that you really don't get it, Senator Von Gillern. You really don't get it. You've crossed a line and you've gone too far. This bill harms me in an unforgivable way. And this is a line that you don't cross with me. If you cross it today, you're staying on the other side of it because you have done irreparable harm. And you're doing harm to the body and to Nebraska as well. Don't say hi to me in the hall. Don't ask me how my weekend was. Don't walk by my desk and ask me anything. Don't send me Christmas card. Take me off the list. You don't know me. We have no relationship. And if you don't believe me, if you think I'm going to cool down and change my mind, you should believe me. No one in the world holds a grudge like me. And no one in the world cares less about being petty than me. I don't care. I don't like you. You aren't welcome in my space. You aren't a safe person for my child to be around, or any child, frankly. Don't believe me? You should.
And all her Democratic colleagues are standing completely in solidarity. Otherwise, this filibuster wouldn't work.
These are the people I want to see rise through the ranks and take more and more power in this country. Right. People who are willing to say the truth and willing to confront evil in front of them.
Unlike the Republican majority in the United States House, which did pass the Anti-LGBTQ Parents Bill of Rights Act, it's a wedge bill. It passed 213 to 208. It requires schools receiving federal funding to inform parents before a minor's gender marker, name, or pronouns are changed on school forms, requires parental consent before students can use restrooms or locker rooms aligned with their gender identities, and wants surveys asking about sexual orientation stopped, you know, and it wants to help parents ban books by giving them lists to consider.
Well, a recent survey shows that now 10% of the United States population openly identifies as LGBT or Q. That number has been rising steadily over the years as more and more people are willing to be out. And I predict will keep rising.
And 80%
of the people in that survey said they support protections for LGBTQ people. And yet these fools still end up in office.
You're talking about the Wall Street Journal poll. It found that 61% oppose book banning and censorship of topics that are educationally important. By the way, Florida has a new bill to ban books if just one parent objects. 56% have some or great confidence in public schools. A third have little or none. So, you know, this is all about destroying public schools. And Florida also is passing a bill that vastly expands school vouchers to undermine public schools. But on the trans issue, the right wing has made some headway. 43% surveyed said society's gone too far in accepting trans people. And a third say not far enough. But that's after all this relentless propaganda about trans people that has gone out for a very misunderstood community that has not had a lot of exposure.
And that kind of propaganda is what gets these right-wing Republicans reelected, and gerrymandering and right-wing money and all of that. Before we completely leave Senator Megan Hunt from Nebraska, I want to highlight someone else who spoke up this week. And that was Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press spokeswoman, who on the news of Ron DeSantis expanding the Don't Say Gay bill to all through high school, just really lost her composure and started saying from the podium, it is completely, utterly wrong, and just kept repeating herself like that and did not hold back to a neutral position. I was very happy to see her do that.
Well, last week we were talking about something bad coming out of Utah, but this week the Governor Spencer Cox, a Republican, signed a bill passed unanimously in the Utah legislature banning conversion therapy for minors. It's the only state to have voted on it unanimously and the most conservative to do so.
Exactly. So we're in crazy town.
Well, we have been.
Don't you think? You refer to books being banned by one person objecting. That's happening all over Florida. And And they're supposed to, with one objection, take a book or whatever off the shelves and evaluate it to see whether to put it back on. Well, it turns out that they're not evaluating things. They're letting them sit for months and months and months. So it's basically a one-person veto. And this has happened recently to the film about little Ruby Bridges, 6 years old, who integrated a school in the South in the, what, the 60s?
Early 1960s.
Yeah. And one parent objected to second graders who are older than Ruby Bridges being shown this film. And now it's out of the school because the parent objected.
Well, okay. All right. Back to Ron DeSantis. His speechwriter, his new speechwriter, is Nate Hochman. Here's a picture of the two of these guys, who was a fanboy of white supremacist Holocaust denier Nick Fuentes. Remember that name? That's the one Trump had lunch with Kanye or Yee. Even Trump had to distance himself from Fuentes. But this is, Hochman says, it's a tragedy that the debate over the definition of marriage is over, and claims that we wouldn't be talking about transgenderism if we'd not first destroyed the meaning of marriage. So this is who this guy is running with as he tries to be our president.
Well, very hard to imagine that DeSantis is going to get anywhere in the presidential run, but we'll have to stay tuned on that. Meanwhile, four families in Florida are suing for access to medical care for their trans kids. People are fighting back in the courts, on the streets, wherever. I all week I've been telling people about those 10-year-olds in Indianapolis who staged a walkout of 100 kids from their elementary school.
Right, wonderful.
Yeah.
At Trump's Wacko Waco rally, he made a share of vicious anti-trans remarks, and he featured Ted Nugent, we have a picture, who said, I want my money back. I didn't authorize any money to Ukraine for some homosexual weirdo, his description of Ukraine's very brave president, Zelensky.
And of course, Tucker Carlson is just wall-to-wall anti-trans.
I watch it. It's so disgusting. Oh, this is the transgender war. They're violent people. The war on the transgender war on Christians. And this is to get people not to talk about what's going to solve the gun problem.
Yeah. Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri is going on the Christian bandwagon and wants prosecutions. I think he wanted the shooter prosecuted for anti-Christian hate crime. A little late for that now.
All right.
But I also saw a video of, it was too long, so we're not showing it this week, but there was great video of a trans woman testifying to a legislative session in Texas. So brilliant, so eloquent, really, really amazing. And I hope someone is hearing that kind of testimony, because certainly the legislature is turning a deaf ear.
All right. By the way, here's your George Santos update. He's finally confessed to a crime.
Yes.
Making a deal with Brazilian prosecutors in the case of his defrauding a clerk in Rio of $1,300 over clothes and shoes in 2008. So now that DeSantis has a real job on our dime, he agrees to confess and pay.
Santos, not, you said DeSantis. It's Santos.
I'm sorry. Oh, same. Santos. Agrees to confess and pay damages to the victim.
Shocking. I'm shocked that he would confess to the crime. Doesn't that put him in a lot of extra danger if he actually confesses?
He has racked up so many crimes. I just don't understand why the House Ethics Committee is not moving faster.
All right. Well, and our own assembly member in New York, Danny O'Donnell, has asked the governor here to bar non-essential travel to all these states that are passing these laws, Arkansas, Mississippi, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, West Virginia. Soon we will not be able to leave our houses for fear of treading on, defiled territory.
A better situation in Philadelphia, where the mayoral candidates all stood with drag queens. This is kind of like what happened in New York with the attorney general of the state, hosting a drag story hour. Mm-hmm. And in this time of crisis, when this is the group that has been chosen to be under attack, it's great that the mayoral candidates there in Philadelphia are all standing.
The Democratic mayoral candidates.
Oh, well, okay.
Eight of them. No, it's great, but it's the Democrats.
All right.
In Iowa, the Coralville School District closed all its schools for 2 days because of bomb threats. Bomb threats. They were targeted by libs of TikTok. This is when I start wishing that TikTok would disappear. Because they have somewhere on their library shelves the book, This Book is Gay, which is one of the main targets of the right wing.
Well, the American Library Association reports book bans and restrictions set records in 2022, 1,200 challenges, up from 600 in 2021. The group's director of its Office for Intellectual Freedom said she's never seen anything like it. The last 2 years have been exhausting, frightening, and outrage-inducing. Many of the challenges were against multiple, sometimes hundreds of books. Librarians are being threatened with legal action and violence, and most challenges are to books about racial justice and LGBTQ themes.
Right. Racial justice books like the story of Roberto Clemente or Hank Aaron. Governor Kemp in Georgia has signed a bill for no medical care for trans youth. Because he has nothing better to do. And good thing you might want to know about, on May 7th, there's going to be a big online fundraiser called Drag Isn't Dangerous to raise funds for all these efforts to combat these horrible bills and these attacks.
In Chicago, there's something called the Uprising Bakery and Cafe, and they're going to have to close its doors for good after vandalism. You see it there in the picture, and continued threats because it hosted a family-friendly drag performance last July. The owner says they've been branded as gay only and pedophiles, which is the right wing's favorite word, and that customers are avoiding them for fear of harassment themselves. So the bakery had hosted LGBTQ events prior to 2022 with no incident before. But amidst this, a neo-Nazi leader in Florida told NPR that anti-drag fervor has been a boon to recruitment efforts. Yes, Nazis are the real groomers.
In Hawaii, a state representative, a Republican, was disinvited from the annual parade honoring the native people of Hawaii because he made such horrible, disgusting remarks about LGBTQ people and trans people. And the native leader said, come on, we comprise all those people. And just as we talk about two-spirit people in various Native populations, there's a term for it among the Hawaiian Native population, too. And they said to this guy, don't you show up at our parade. You're a hater. We don't want you here.
He'd probably be very welcome in the new Ginny Thomas group. She's the wife of Clarence Thomas, the Supreme Court Justice, and a supporter of the insurrection. Her new group, Crowdsourcers for Culture and Liberty, just raised $600,000 in anonymous donations channeled through a right-wing think tank to shield the donors. None of this runs afoul of SCOTUS ethics code because there is no SCOTUS ethics code.
Correct. In Texas, the president of West Texas A&M University barred a charity drag show, calling drag demeaning to women. And when challenged, he said, I know I don't have a right to ban this. I know that I'm violating constitutional protections of free speech. I don't care. I don't like it. I'm banning it. The students are suing him over this.
Well, somebody who did get banned was a New York judge, an administrative law judge, fired from his after his adults only fans and just for fans accounts came to light. This guy's name is Gregory Locke. He's a gay administrative judge. He has 160,000 followers on OnlyFans and billed himself as a white-collar professional by day, very unprofessional by night, always amateur, always raw, always slutty. But that's not what got him fired. When Mayor Adams said there was no separation of church and state, Locke tweeted, Eric Adams can suck my blank. And when the MAGA city council member, Vicky Palladino of Queens, went after Drag Time Story Hour, he tweeted, choke on a blank. using a word for a male member. Paladino lodged complaints, and that led to his firing. He seemed unperturbed about being canned.
Well, he must be making enough money on OnlyFans just for fans. He has a sense of humor.
Gregory Locke.
Yeah. Yeah, look for him on OnlyFans.
If you want revealing pictures.
In Waukesha, Wisconsin, first graders have been banned from singing a Dolly Parton, Miley Cyrus song in their little local play because it's called Rainbow Land and it's about rainbows and you can be anyone you want to be. Well, the school doesn't like that. And so now Dolly Parton and Miley Cyrus are banned in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
The kids
are about to have a very important election for a judge.
The kids were devastated.
Yeah.
In Georgia, I see that Trump wants Marjorie Taylor Greene to run against John Ossoff for U.S. Senate next year. That would be very nice. We could get her out of Congress and hold on to the Senate seat.
That would be lovely. All right. Should we move on to here are a few stories we should mention. In Worcester, Mass, there is a new lesbian bar called Femme. A lesbian couple saw the movie about the lack of lesbian bars in the United States dwindling. And they thought, well, we could open a lesbian bar. And so they have. And it looks very groovy and popular. And congratulations to them. In the NHL, the National Hockey League, there's a lot going on over Pride Nights and teams with Russian players. And there are a lot of them are splitting on this. The Chicago Blackhawks have decided not to celebrate Pride Night because they're afraid their Russian players will return home and get in trouble in Russia because Putin will go after them. Well, look what he did to Brittany Griner. But the Florida Panthers say, yes, they will celebrate Pride Night. And they're going to auction off some of the Pride clothes the players wear for LGBT charities.
Okay. The new Pride agenda in New York plans a march and rally Saturday, April 1st, starting at Christopher Street Pier at 3 o'clock and marching to the Stonewall National Monument, followed by a community happy hour at the bar. That's a new way to have a demonstration. But they have a big agenda in New York, and that's what they're marching for this week.
And I'm looking forward to RUSA LGBT, which is LGBT emigre Russians here in Brooklyn, holding their 7th Brighton Beach Pride Parade on May 21st on the Brooklyn Boardwalk. They did a whole parade. This is last year's, which was very supportive of Ukraine. And they'll draw a big crowd this year, too. In Minnesota, the State House voted to make the state a refuge for trans people. This still has to be voted on by the Senate and signed by the governor. But this is taking back the legislature in Minnesota.
In Idaho, there's no escape. They're set to pass a bill to make it a felony to take a minor out of state for an abortion. Allow the father of the said child to sue the abortion providers out of state. They call it parental rights, but the teen who's about to become a parent has no rights.
We've lost a couple more trans people this week. In Denver, trans woman Kaylee Scott, who was not only a United Airlines flight attendant, but featured in an ad United did for Pride Month, for Trans Day of Visibility, took her own life, depressed, left a long note about it, apologized to her friends, a real loss.
25 years old, left the Facebook message, "I'm sorry I couldn't be stronger." But look, it's tough, as we report on every week.
Yeah.
In Maryland, in Lexington Park, 18-year-old Black trans woman Tasia Woodland was shot and killed on Friday, found alone and declared dead in the parking lot of a local bar. She had studied at the College of Maryland after graduating from Great Mills High School. The St. Mary's County Sheriff's Office is investigating and is in regular contact with her family.
And we talk often on this show about Peter Thiel, the PayPal inventor and somewhat right-wing.
Right-wing. He's a hard right guy.
Yeah. Well, and he has a husband and a couple of kids in Berlin, but he has a partner in Miami, Jeff Thomas, a model, 35 years old, who took his life.
It's being investigated as a suicide. There's no suggestion that Thiel was involved, but he's being questioned about it. They were romantically involved. Thomas had 120,000 followers on Instagram. And he said he tried to persuade Thiel to give up his aggressive support of Trump and culture wars that was blowing back on our community. But Thiel has given many millions to anti-LGBT Republican candidates, including Blake Masters there in Arizona. By the way, the national, since we talk about this, the national suicide prevention number is 988. We talk about these things, it's open 24/7 if you need to talk.
In Portland, Oregon, we lost the world's oldest performing drag queen, Darcelle.
Darcelle the 15th.
92 years old, proprietor of the nightclub Darcelle the 15th Showplace, opened in 1967, 2 years before Stonewall. The club and Darcelle's home are listed on the National Register of Historic Places. The mayor had given the Spirit of Portland Award to Darcelle. The Guinness Book of World Records called her the world's oldest drag queen performer. Very supportive of all local charities.
Author of two books, including Just Call Me Darcelle. Don't build a fence around me, she said. I'm not one person. None of us are. We fought to do away with labels. Now there's a label for everything. She doesn't care about pronouns. I don't care what you call me as long as you're calling me and the check clears. Offstage, Darcelle was Walter W. Cole Sr., predeceased by his life partner, Roxy LeRoy Newhart. Cole maintained his relationship with his wife and two kids, one of whom, Walter Jr., ran the club for 30 years and will keep running it.
It's the oldest operating drag club west of the Mississippi.
What a character. And then Johnny Woods has died, a leading translator of German authors into English, died at the age of 80, survived by his husband, Francesco Campitelli. His translations of the novels of Thomas Mann were considered vast improvements on earlier translations. And he also exceeded at translating complex fiction of Arno Schmidt. He received numerous translation awards from all the different groups, including an award, the Goethe Medal, from the Federal Republic of Germany. He died in Berlin.
We should move on, but I have to mention one thing. Did you see the documentary last night on PBS, The Movement and the Madman?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. And it's a new documentary. It's about Nixon and the peace movement in 1969. And David Mixner is heavily featured. He was one of the leaders of the moratorium in Vietnam, the demonstrations. Highly, highly recommended. It's running on Prime Video, Amazon, and also on the PBS site, although that can be harder to access. The Movement and the Madman, and it's all about strategizing and organizing and creating a critical mass movement to move the government to change. It's really fantastic.
All right, international news, more on Uganda. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, Volker Turk, has asked President Museveni not to sign the new, even more extreme anti-homosexuality bill, calling it draconian and unconstitutional and the worst of its kind in the world. The U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Linda Thomas Greenfield, spoke twice this past week with Museveni to express our deep concern about the bill, which includes the death penalty for what they call aggravated homosexuality and prison for children who have been deemed to have been lured into homosexuality.
I'm happy to see activists identifying U.S. evangelists who created the movement for this bill being targeted by activists here. Derek Washington in Las Vegas is targeting the Canyon Ridge Christian Church, which has done a lot of work in Uganda to make this bill happen. And I'm waiting to see whether Fernando Cabrera in New York, aide to the mayor, who we complained about when the mayor hired him because he'd been involved in this kind of work. I haven't heard any statement from him about this bill.
Absolutely not. But the leaders of the gay groups there, SMUG, Sexual Minorities Uganda, say they're all living in fear now. The government shut down their group already, but he said we can't give up. Pepe Oziema said, many are trying to seek asylum, but it's very difficult for Black LGBTQ people to get asylum. Though he hopes that the countries who claim to support us will give refuge to those and not further marginalize them.
And Vice President Kamala Harris is in Africa now, touring various countries. She started in Ghana, which is about to pass a very similar bill. And she claims that she lobbied against it. The president claims they've watered it down a little. But the authors of the bill say, oh, no, nothing's been watered down. It's we hate the LGBTQ. We're going after them. And that bill is about to pass in Ghana.
Well, the White House did say it's considering economic penalties against Uganda over the law. In Scotland, the pro-LGBTQ candidate to succeed Nicola Sturgeon as the first minister prevailed over an anti-LGBTQ opponent. His name is Humza Yousaf, the first Muslim to lead a Western European democracy.
In Moldova, couples are suing for marriage rights for same-sex couples. In Egypt, Grindr is warning its users that cops there are using fake accounts to entrap and arrest, including the accounts of people they've already arrested. They just take their accounts and use them to get more people.
Out of Russia, Masha Gessen reported that in Putin's last speech, he took the time to assert that God is male and that what he calls the crazy Europeans and the Nazi Ukrainians are trying to make God gender fluid.
Devastating report in London on the Metropolitan Police, who were the police commissioned the report. It calls them racist, misogynist, homophobic, can no longer presume it has the permission of the people of London to police them. They call this institutional discrimination. LGBTQ police are harassed, bullied, and sexualized. This is a really terrible situation.
Meanwhile, Prince William went to Poland to buck up the British troops and were aiding in the Ukraine war. And at the end of the day, he and his staff dined at a gay restaurant in Warsaw, billed as a queer space for comfort food with rainbow signage out front. And a gay journalist said it is valuable that he supported the community so abused by the current authorities in Poland.
The World Athletics Council has issued a new decision that track and field, like swimming, will ban all transgender people who have gone through transgender women who have gone through male puberty. None are competing currently in track and field. Intersex women like Caster Semenya are going to have harsher rules about suppressing their natural testosterone. It's not good.
Okay.
And a Ukraine lesbian couple who fled Ukraine are just gobsmacked that they have been allowed to marry in Ireland.
Great.
Okay.
AIDS News. ACT UP has marked its 36th anniversary with an action at Simon & Schuster protesting AIDS denialism. There's Jason Rosenberg there holding the sign. Specifically, their publication of a book by Rebecca Crenshaw, The Real Epidemic, How the Tragic HIV Mistake Threatens Us All. GLAAD co-sponsored the action. The publisher did remove the book from its online webpage, but did not respond to the protest. I have a little concern about trying to ban books anywhere, but obviously this doesn't sound like a good one.
We are certainly in favor of objecting to books.
Absolutely.
And revealing them. I'm sort of moved that New York City has decided to open up Heart Island to visitors. There are a lot of graves there of people with AIDS who were buried unclaimed by their families. So
I'm moved by North Carolina becoming the 40th state to expand Medicaid coverage. Many of them are caving now. I mean, in Mississippi, they're not. They're all going to hell. And I'm not talking about the tornado. I'm talking about their hospital system. Florida doesn't embrace it either. But this, you know, federal government gives you 90% of the funding. You only have to come up with 10%. What's not to like?
The 10%, unfortunately.
Right. Entertainment?
Yes.
Brokeback Mountain has been turned into a play, and the leads, Mike Faist, who was Riff in West Side Story, there on the left, as Jack Twist, and Lucas Hedges, also gay and boy erased, at least they look more like the characters in Annie Proulx's short story in The New Yorker than Jake and Heath did in the movie. It's playing on London's West End May 10th to August 12th, so I'm going to have a chance to see it. And if it's successful, I guess with these American stars, they'll bring it over here. Hedges at least describes his sexuality as fluid, but it's set in 1953 in Wyoming.
And in Australia, ABC TV there, that's the Australian broadcasting company, has a new series running called In Our Blood, about 80s AIDS gay activism and the gay community there, with a soundtrack by Depeche Mode, Tears for Fears, and others. But it's hard to watch over here at the moment.
Well, it's going to make white ring heads explode. The picture there is of a male activist dressed as a nun doing a safe sex demonstration at a gay sauna.
Well, that was quite common in the 90s.
Yes, it was.
Here.
go ahead.
Well, there's A24 won the Oscar for Everything Everywhere All at Once and Moonlight and is a very edgy independent producer. And they have a new movie in the works called Mother Mary with Anne Hathaway as a musician and partner of Michaela Cole on the left, who you may remember from I May Destroy You as a fashion designer. And this will be a musical. And talk about heads exploding. I can't wait to see that.
It's not certain that it's going to be a romantic relationship.
The thinking seems to be they're headed in that direction.
That's what the story says. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. We're down to our last minute. Do you have anything else? I have a couple of things I skipped.
Yeah, the Buffalo New York Pride Parade is disinviting Governor Hochul because they're having a fight over funding HIV organizations.
Absolutely. In Wyoming, it was nice to see a judge block the state's abortion ban right after it took effect.
And Montana is in line to pass even worse anti-LGBTQ laws than anywhere else. A friend of mine there says that Montana is going downhill because everybody who watches Yellowstone is moving there.
And Madonna has added a tour date in Nashville to protest the state's anti-drag, anti-trans law. Anyone with half a brain, she said, knows not to F with a drag queen.
Well, this is the transgender week of celebration and day of visibility on Friday. We wish better news for all of them and all of us.
And we have things in our newsletter about that for you.
Good night.